Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Friday, 12th of June, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island and background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person tonight. No new confirmed cases of C-19 for the 23rd day. And currently no active cases. David Ashford, MHK, was asked, when can we leave the island to go on holiday? The answer in a moment. The Public Accounts Committee put education under the spotlight. The latest on the situation at Abbotswood Care Home. Cycle helmets aren't going to be compulsory, and a virtual map of island wrecks could be on the way.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. First am I, Ed Oldham.
First am I, it's day 23 of no new cases of COVID-19 on the island. Health Minister David Ashford announced the latest figures at today's media conference at 4 o'clock. He says this means we're in a unique situation among our neighbours and we'll be as close to being coronavirus-free as we can be if we hit 4 weeks next week. The international media have got it the wrong end of the stick on imminent changes to bicycle helmet laws, according to the island's new infrastructure minister. It's been widely reported the Isle of Man will become the first jurisdiction to make wearing a helmet on a bicycle compulsory by law, following a debate in the House of Keys this week. But Tim Baker says that's categorically not true. Manx National Heritage has started reopening its sites from today, with Peel Castle being the first. They've been shut during the lockdown. I mean, M&H says the castle is an ideal one to open because it's mostly an open-air site, which will make social distancing easier. Further afield, the British government says a gentle approach to enforcing face coverings on public transport in England will be used over the first couple of days. They're compulsory from Monday, and the Transport Secretary says that people should remember them in the same way that they do their mobile phones and wallets. Government scientists say the coronavirus reproduction rate may have risen above 1 in parts of England. Official figures indicate the rate, known as the R number, is between 0.8 and 1 across the country. And the Prime Minister says anti-racism protests in the UK have been hijacked by extremists intent on violence. Statues around the country have been boarded up over fears of damage. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you. Ed, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea weather indicates strong winds in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. Mostly dry this evening across the island. It is very grey. Overnight showers on the fresh to strong northeasterly. And a low temperature of 12 Celsius. Chasan, Saturday, a cloudy morning tomorrow, then patchy rain on a moderate to fresh easterly. It will be dry with sunny spells later. A daytime maximum of 20 degrees Celsius. The overnight minimum 13 into Sunday. Jaduni is dry with sunny periods, a light east-northeast wind, and a top temperature around 20 degrees. High water was at 19 minutes past 5. The sunset tonight, 8 minutes to 10. Low water, 20 past 11, sunrise is at 4:45 in the morning. High water is at 24 minutes to 6, and the lunchtime low tide for Saturday, 20 past midday.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674 573.
Following yesterday's announcement of social distancing ending on Monday, attention's quickly turning to how quickly you'll be able to do other things. Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford faced questions on related issues at today's coronavirus media briefing. For example, he was asked for any indication when you can go on your summer holiday. Mr. Ashford said, wait and see.
The Chief Minister mentioned at the press conference yesterday, Paul, that we are building a roadmap. And the roadmap hopefully will be able to be published next week in relation to how we move forward in relation to border policies. I think the key thing I need to emphasise again is our borders depends not just on the situation for us, it also depends on the situations around us. My personal view is that the border control that we've had in place has been one of the biggest mechanisms of suppressing this virus for us. It has allowed us to get into the position that we're in now. And although there is a pent-up, I'm sure, a pent-up frustration with people, people feeling they want to travel, it is important that we don't release that too early and thereby cause COVID-19 to spike again in the island. So I know it's frustrating for some people, but personally, borders, from my point of view, borders have to be done in an exceptionally well-managed way. So there will be a roadmap coming out, hopefully before the end of next week, where people will be able to see the various levels on where we'd be able to release the borders. But like I say, the key measure on that is not what's happening here in the Isle of Man. It is what's happening in our near neighbours, the Republic of Ireland and the UK.
So an air bridge to the Channel Islands and other places possible, maybe then?
I know air bridges is something that's been discussed. I know the Department for Enterprise is looking at them. The only thing I would caution about air bridges is the same thing I've said previously at one of these conferences, which is around the fact that, of course, it also depends on the borders policy of the place you're forming an air bridge to, because it's not a one-way street. If someone can travel into that country, they can then use the air bridge to travel into the island.
Well, they have announced their opening. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, they've given sort of the ideas which month they're ready for business anyway.
Well, like I say, we'll have the roadmap next week. I'm not going to preempt the announcements next week, but okay. Like I say, from my personal point of view, the borders policy and the borders control has been absolutely critical in suppressing the virus, and it will continue to play a very, very important part in managing any second outbreak or potential other wave of this virus that might occur in the future.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
The Public Accounts Committee had another emergency coronavirus scrutiny session this morning, and today it was the turn of the Education Department to be under the spotlight. Dolan Mercer listened in.
The Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, was joined by Chief Executive Professor Ronald Barr, and there was a theme in his responses. I'll paraphrase some of the queries put to him, and we'll hear his replies. Jane Poole Wilson relayed feedback from parents about an apparent disparity between different schools and teachers. One comment, she said, was that education provision on a small island should be equitable, not a postcode lottery.
I think there's been some areas which have not been to the standard we would have liked. I'm afraid, sadly, it's been partly mired in the industrial dispute and the non-cooperation that we've had from some teaching unions.
Mrs. Poole Wilson also asked if guidance for online learning and specified year groups could have been more centralised.
On a number of occasions, they would say, well, we're not prepared to do that because it is part of the ongoing industrial dispute that we have with you. So the department has had to manage that pressure throughout this entire crisis.
Julie Edge asked about data sharing between schools.
To be fair, some head teachers were willing to work with us on this, and again, I'm afraid it was one of those things where in some cases head teachers said, well, this falls within the industrial dispute and therefore we're not willing to do the full amount of information sharing that you would like.
Laurie Hooper asked about department support for schools on the initial COVID-19 guidance.
We directed the head teachers to, these are things that you should be doing, these are the sort of ideas of best practice. But again, I come back to the fact that during the industrial dispute, we have no mechanism to actually follow up in terms of quality assurance because the teaching unions are not working with us in terms of the school review processes, and that's mired in the industrial dispute over pay.
You can listen back to the hearing in full on the Timwold website.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next passenger sailing is 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mananan heads for Heysham from Douglas. And the Steam Packet's fast craft continues to operate daytime sailings just to Heysham. The motor ship Ben McCree is providing our overnight freight service.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
21 minutes before 6 on Update Live on Manx Radio from the Isle of Man. Investigations into the running of Abbotswood Nursing Home, which saw 20 residents die with coronavirus, have been referred to the police. The announcement came last night with the constabulary called in to assess whether potential criminal offences have been committed. Ewan Gorn with the details.
All investigations which had been taking place into the operation of Abbotswood have been temporarily suspended by the government. Several were being undertaken on registration and inspections and safeguarding. Corporate risk consultant and forensic investigator Expol, which is based on the island, was working as part of one of these investigations. It's the externally appointed investigators which have recommended referral to the Isle of Man Constabulary to consider whether potential offences have been committed. Once police have considered the position, contact will be made with those directly involved. As the investigations are subject to legal opinion, no further comment will be made for now, but it's understood more information will be released in due course. Despite authorities remaining tight-lipped about the investigation, Abbotswood will be raised in Tynwald next week. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas wants to know what price and on what terms the government was offered Abbotswood Nursing Home for either purchase or lease. Also, Douglas South MHK Kate Castain will ask the Attorney General what inquiry will be carried out into the coronavirus deaths at Abbotswood Nursing Home, who will undertake it, what the terms of reference will be, and when it will be expected to report. For coverage of that sitting, tune in to Manx Radio's AM frequency at 10:30 on Tuesday morning.
Manx Radio's business briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Isle of Man Post Office said it'll consult with the relevant people and organisations before removing any measures brought in to tackle the spread of coronavirus that follows the announcement social distancing in the Isle of Man set to end on Monday. In the UK, Just Eat Takeaway has agreed to buy the US rival Grubhub with a $7.3 billion deal, £5.75 billion to create a transatlantic food delivery giant. The deal with Grubhub, whose negotiation with Uber fell apart after being mired in antitrust and other issues, comes just 4 months after the £10 billion merger of London-based Just Eat and the Dutch group Takeaway. That's the news in business.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed slightly higher despite the news that the UK economy contracted by 20.4% in April. The US dollar rose while the euro edged lower against the greenback. Oil prices fell, extending heavy overnight losses as the surge in US coronavirus cases this week raised the prospect of a second wave of COVID-19. Gold rose as fears regarding the resurgence of C-19 infections and grim economic outlook from the US Fed boosted demand for bullion. In corporate news, Pearson shares were sitting pretty at the top of the index after activist investor Cevian Capital revealed it had bought 5.4% of the struggling education company as it seeks a new boss. And Informa was in the black as it warned revenue was likely to fall by almost a third in 2020, but indicated prospects were brightening as the business starts to revive in China. The numbers at the close in London: the FTSE 100 was up 0.5% at 6,105. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.33% at 11,935. Just after 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.75% at 25,323. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 1/3 at 9,527. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.5% at 3,018. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 $25.3 and €1 $11.3. And in commodities, gold up 0.5% at $1,734 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude up 1.3% at $38.78.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather.
At 16 minutes.
Glass and glazing.
16 minutes before 6. If you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, diving or surfing this weekend, here's the relevant information. The weather summary: sunny intervals and showers. Sea temperature across the Isle of Man, around the Isle of Man, 12 Celsius. The wind and the waves. Saturday, the wind is east to northeast, 4 or 5. Wave height, 0.8 metres. Wave period, 3 seconds. High water tomorrow, Saturday, is at 5:34 a.m. and 6:25 p.m. On Sunday, the wind northeast, force 3 or 4. Wave height, 0.5 metre. Wave period, 3 seconds. High water, 28 minutes to 7 a.m. and 25 to 8 p.m.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast.
Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
And talking of water, the wreckage of a Second World War landing craft thought to have sunk in Manx waters was recently discovered off the coast of Bardsey Island, Wales, putting an end to a 77-year mystery. Researchers from both Bangor and Bournemouth universities have been conducting sonar surveys in the Irish Sea to create virtual maps of the wreck sites. Now, with the help of Manx National Heritage, the team has its eyes set on those around the Isle of Man. Lewis Foster spoke to Dr. Michael Roberts from Bangor University's School of Ocean Sciences.
We pretty much map every single shipwreck between sort of South Pembrokeshire now and with 20 miles north of Anglesey. And obviously we want to expand on that. So that vessels that we find on the seabed, you know, in the middle of the Irish Sea, south of the Isle of Man, north of Anglesey, they can be vessels that are allegedly off the Isle of Man or vice versa. So it's really important that we expand our area of research to get the whole picture. And we've been sort of in discussion with Manx Heritage to try and survey some vessels, particularly off the western side of the Isle of Man, that there are many vessels there in the St George's Channel running up the central part of the Irish Sea. Obviously, we had hoped to get out there in May this year, but due to this current situation, that was not possible. We are still hoping to get out there in August and undertake some surveys. And this will be an ongoing piece of work, probably lasting another year or so, with the ultimate aim of wreck mapping every single wreck in the Irish Sea. I should just add, I'm quite interested in how these structures affect marine processes, and I've got colleagues that I work with as well, because the wrecks play an important part in marine ecology and also can provide us with sort of insights really into, you know, what happens if we put machines on the seabed, for example, to generate energy. How will those machines interact with physical and biological processes? And so wrecks are kind of laboratories, if you like, so they're very interesting to us as scientists as well as to the historians themselves.
You say this will take place over the next year or so. What can Manx residents interested in this project expect to see?
Well, we're really hoping that once we survey these vessels off and around the Isle of Man, so within 20 miles of the Isle of Man, that what we'll be able to do with this, with the data, is to produce sort of visualizations of these wreck sites. So they'll kind of almost come alive, if you like. You can create 3D models, apps, mobile apps, where people can understand the heritage from the shoreline, so particularly, you know, coastal paths and whatever you're walking at. And you can kind of visualize the marine environment in a way that's never been able to be done before. And, you know, providing insights into history, the natural sort of world, and just bring that to the sort of larger public consciousness.
Manx Radio Sport.
12 minutes to 6, Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai, anyone considering tackling the parish walk route this month, despite the event being cancelled, is being urged to reconsider. The parish walk committee and the police say they've been made aware that some people are wanting to do so, and that neither body would endorse such a thing. According to the committee, it's an event which requires many months of planning, as well as risk assessments, traffic management, speed restrictions, extensive marshalling, police patrols and signage across the 85-mile route. The 2020 parish had been due to take place on the weekend of the 20th and 21st of June, but was cancelled in late March because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's been announced the Gran Fondo Isle of Man will take place on Sunday the 30th of August. Entries for the cycling event are open now, with 15% off the fee until the end of June. Organisers say more details will follow. You can find out more at granfondoiom.com. Further afield, the Premier League returns next month after a three-month suspension due to the coronavirus. Players and staff have been repeatedly tested over the last couple of weeks as training resumed. Sky's Jamie Weir explains some of the other protocols that will be in place on a match day.
Before leaving for a stadium on match day, players will have already undergone COVID-19 testing. They'll then travel in sterile environments, be that by plane, by team coach, or indeed their own car if it's a home game or a local game. They'll arrive at a sterile drop-off area.
And the PDC Darts Tour will resume on the 8th of July with 5 one-day Players' Championship events being held behind closed doors in Milton Keynes. The sport has been suspended since March due to coronavirus. The PDC did host a home tour with players competing against each other from their own homes during lockdown.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
11 minutes to 6, the 4:40 from Ronaldsway to Heathrow went 4 minutes early, and the 10 to 5 to Liverpool went 9 minutes early. Inbound tonight, 6:40 from Liverpool and 8 o'clock from London Heathrow. On the roads, Curragh Road St John's closed from the amenity site to the junction with Ballacrane traffic lights. Sulby Straits got two-way traffic signals for resurfacing. Temporary closure of the Ballagorry Farm Lane in Glenmona for the MER level crossing rebuild. And there are two-way traffic signals in Glen Oldham for stonewall repairs. Also two-way traffic signals in Groudle by King Edward Road for railway works. Remember, one-way northbound on Douglas Promenade from Monday. You can see that on all the matrix signs across the Isle of Man, apart from the one from Sulby to the mountain that says 40 miles an hour, fog. And all the details at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions
670145. Well, there's been some coverage in the international media this week claiming the Isle of Man will be the first jurisdiction to make wearing a helmet on a bicycle compulsory by law, following changes introduced into Has of Keys this week. But Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker, MHK, says that's not true. He explained why to Dolan Mercer.
The international media, whilst we all like media attention, have got the wrong end of the stick with this. So let me take the opportunity to make it absolutely clear. I have absolutely no intention of introducing regulations to make wearing helmets on bicycles compulsory. To clarify, what was in front of Keys was the Road Traffic Amendment Bill, a piece of legislation which addressed many, many issues, very, very positive ones, including dealing with issues such as drug driving. Within this bill, there was a clause which gives the department powers to introduce the requirement for helmets to be worn
So in theory, you could bring that in now if you wish to?
No. It gives the powers that the department may then subsequently bring forward regulations which would need Tim Wald approval. But it's not intended for cycles. It's primarily vehicles such as sidecars, quad bikes and horses.
What's the difference between those different types of transport, if you like? Is this to do with risk?
Yeah, it's risk and also evidence. There was a lot of contributions from honourable members talking about actually the unintended consequences of people wearing cycle helmets, and the data doesn't necessarily support the view that wearing a cycle helmet reduces death rates or serious injuries. A number of other jurisdictions were cited. We would only bring forward regulations if we had evidence to support the need and the benefit to do so, and with, you know, a full discussion. So we're modernising the legislation. It gives powers to potentially bring those sort of regulations in. But the cycling piece has been picked up by the media. Again, to reiterate, the department and I, as minister, have no intention of introducing regulations to make wearing helmets on bicycles compulsory.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Manx people have been running marathons, cycling the TT course, walking the equivalent of the parish walk, raising funds for charity throughout the pandemic. The Manx Solidarity Fund was set up at the beginning of the crisis to help businesses and individuals stay afloat. And Ben Sowery, who owns the Ginger Hall in Sulby, is one of the many businesses which applied for help.
Initially, I didn't really have any plans on applying because I don't know really. I felt a bit cheeky. I think most people do when it comes to when there's a fund created like this. I think the danger is most people think, oh, well, I probably shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't apply for that. But I think the fund themselves, they're keen for everybody to at least put an application in, whether you're successful or not. So what it's enabled me to do is to sort of thrive during this time and not just survive. It's enabled me to make significant improvements to my premises. So, yeah, without the fund, I would have got through, but I would have scraped through by the skin of my teeth.
You mentioned that sort of, it's kind of embedded in us, isn't it? When help is there and offered to us, we feel that someone else should take it first, which is a lovely way to feel, but also it can be a bit detrimental to your own business. So why did you kind of have those feelings before applying to the Manx Solidarity Fund? And do you know of any other small businesses that have refrained from applying?
Yeah, I was urged to apply really by somebody who knew a number of people on the board. And without that, I definitely wouldn't. I mean, when you hear of the fantastic efforts of, you know, Christian Varley, you just feel a bit humbled and maybe a bit embarrassed about, you know, why should I be entitled to any of that? But like I say, also through hearing from people on the board, that's not the mindset they want at all. The reason that everybody's going to these great lengths and, you know, the Not the TT Bike Challenge, it's to create money for this fund for people who are struggling. So my advice would be, don't feel like you're not entitled to it. If you have a genuine case, if your business has been really affected and possibly you can't continue or you can't continue in the way that you would otherwise have been continuing, then the fund is there for you.
Today would have been Senior Ace Day. Of course, it wasn't. The benefit of the TT can be much broader and wider, though, tapping into more the digital arena. The Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly, has been reflecting on the success of this year's virtual TT races after the event was cancelled. He spoke to Alex Watton.
Through the virtual TT, we found it fascinating to set that up because obviously we've got quite a new initiative we're looking into at the moment regarding e-sports. So it was sort of the marriage of our great brand, which is the TT and the skill that that is. And we've had professional TT racers take on professional gamers. And ironically enough, it's the racers that have been winning the virtual TT more so, which tells you that the actual product and the content of it is really very sort of as lifelike as you can in a virtual world. But it is a whole new industry there. And that's where the benefit of the TT can be much broader, much wider. You will recall that we cancelled the TT Zero, which was all about the technology. And we've had a lot of interest in that, and especially where we're going with regards to the climate change program for the Isle of Man. And we were focusing on electric bikes, but there are other energy sources, and we've had other approaches in this particular space while we take a stop and think of where we're going with regards to our TT Zero. So we've got technology and we've got digital industries that can be promoted on the back of the very, very strong global brand that is TT.
And back to the physical world, if you like. In the meantime, are you going to be working on a new grandstand scoreboard?
Well, that is up for consultation as we speak. What we know, of course, is that Glen Crutchery Roads has got a long overdue resurface works that's going to go on there. And when that happens, that requires the scoreboard to be removed, and it is in not a very good state of repair. And this is the time to talk about what do we want. I've made it very clear I like the old scoreboard, and quite frankly, I think there's a lot of nostalgic value with that. But there is also technological advancements, and should there be, you know, a potential hybrid version to entertain our fans of the future, because what we do know is that not far behind is actually the opportunity to have the coverage all the way around the race itself in terms of the visual aspects. So that's something that's coming down the road too that we do need to consider. So it's open for consultation at the moment, and we look forward to hearing more input from the public and the fans particularly.
The Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint. Update is back Monday evening at 5:30. Remember, it's still spring. Summer starts a week tomorrow, and a week on Sunday, it's the summer solstice. Then it's all downhill to Christmas. Have a great weekend.
WINT. How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? 25.